Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Savior Jesus, the Lord of the Church. Amen. The Word of God is taken from the Old Testament, the book of Judges, chapter 11. Now, Jephthah the Gileadite was a valiant warrior, but he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead was the father of Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bore him sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall not have an inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." So Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. And worthless fellows gathered themselves about Jephthah, and they went out with him. That's the word. Dear friends in Christ, before he ever came to the plate, Jephthah, the main character in our text, had three strikes against him. First of all, he's an illegitimate child. Strike number one. He's the son of a barmaid and a brute. Strike number two. He's raised in an atmosphere of hatred and hostility. Strike number three. Jephthah was raised in what today we would call a dysfunctional family, surrounded by half-brothers who frankly couldn't stand him. They didn't like him. They hurled verbal insults at him, profanity. He drove him out from their home, and they had nothing to do with him. Jephthah was not wanted, to put it mildly. And as a result, he was one tough dude. By the time he reached young manhood, he got kicked out of his home, and he took up the lifestyle of a rebel among a tough bunch of thugs in a place called Tob. And then he became the leader of the gang, and they were a tough gang. They rammed their way through villages like a pack of wild dogs, and if they would have had motorcycles, and if they would have had black leather jackets, I'm certain they would have read Tob Terrors as they raced through the trails outrunning the law of the land. Read Judges chapter 11 for yourself. It's there. Again, it's what people today would say, loser, he was that. He was a societal reject. He was Charles Manson, the Boston Strangler, Clyde Barrow, all wrapped up in one explosive, angry body. And having Jephthah and his apes drop in the Tob Pharmacy for Saturday night malts was about as comfortable as taking a swim near the Loch Ness Monster. You just don't do it. But suddenly something begins to change. You see, the people of Israel were being hassled by the Ammonites, a hateful enemy tribe. They're struggling, they're fighting, and they're losing. And the longer the battle goes on, the more obvious it becomes that the people of Israel are going to get whooped. So the Jews need a leader, somebody who's tough, somebody who's got guts and chutzpah, who can stand up against these warriors of Ammon. And guess who they think of? The one they drove out. Let's get Jephthah. He's the guy, because only a guy with his record would qualify for the job. And trembling, they said in verses 6 and 8, "Come and be our chief, that we may fight against the sons of Ammon, and you may become head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." What a deal. What a deal. Because asking Jephthah if he could fight is like asking Michael Jordan if he can jump, if he can play basketball, if Mark McGuire can hit a baseball. This is Jephthah's day in court. And I got to believe that nobody ever wiggled with more delight than Jephthah. And after a brief cat-and-mouse interchange, the criminal accepts the challenge. And predictably, he goes in, and he beats him, and he wins with a decisive display of strength. And immediately, the Tob Evening News carries the headline, "Hoodlum Becomes Hero." He's now Jephthah the judge. What a switch. Because he fit the throne about as appropriately as Castro would fit the U.S. presidency. Jephthah had no rightful claim to such a high calling. That's true, except for one thing, God's grace. Remember now, God is the one who builds trophies from the scrap pile. God is the one who draws his clay from beneath the dunghill. God is the one who makes clean instruments of beauty from the filthy failures of yesteryear. And to underscore this truth, consider Paul's stunning remark made to a group of sophisticated Corinthian Christians. "Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves of the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God, and that is what some of you were." Listen to those words. That is what some of you were. That's what confession is. We confess that you and I were Jephthahs. You and I were rebels. You and I were drunks. You and I were cowards. We were crooks and liars and brawlers. You and I were playboys and hypocrites and drug addicts and charlatans. You and I were phonies. That's what we confess. God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's confession. No Norman Vincent Peale language here. No power of positive thinking. No looking at one another and say, "Hey, I'm okay, and you're not that bad either." This is law language. We confess to God that we of all people are the most deserving of death. I've always loved what the writer Leon Bloys said. He says this: "Any Christian who is not a hero is a pig." Well, that may sound a bit rough to some people, but indeed that's precisely what we proclaim. That under the law, we are just that, pigs, groveling in our sin. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, you remember that the prodigal son longed to eat the pods that the pigs were eating. That's what we are. That's what we confess. Because confession reminds us that we deal with God. We deal with the holy God. It's before our God we stand, that our sin is before him. Our world tries to manage the sin, reducing it to something that is no longer that bad. We've called it by other names, but whatever the world calls it, it does not call it a catastrophe. It does not. And it is that. And we have to face that fact. And in confession, we face that reality, that you and I, by our sin, has caused the death of God's own Son. The publican's prayer is our prayer, folks. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Me. I've sinned against the light. I've sinned against conscience. I've sinned against the love of God. I've sinned against the mercy given to me in the Lord Jesus. Rags are the garments of sinners, and confession is the only music that can come from our lips. And yet our Father in great grace loved us even when we caused the greatest catastrophe known to mankind. He loved us in his Son, Jesus Christ, so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. We are not damned. We're saved. We're forgiven. We are absolved. The fact is that the moment we confess our sins and sinfulness to God, trusting in his mercy in Jesus Christ, every sin ever done is blotted out of God's book. It does not stand against us, against you or me, and God reckons all of us to be righteous. All that Jesus did for you and me on the cross and the empty tomb is cast about our shoulders. It's our robe of beauty. The moment confession and absolution is given, at that moment, all the guilt that you and I have ever committed in our lives is washed entirely away and lost forever. When a sinner, you and I believe in Jesus Christ, our sins positively cease to be. They're swept away in a moment. My past and your past, with all of the horrible things that you've done, that I've done, and we could recount those, our past is wiped away in a moment. Our Heavenly Father, through the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, has loved us into life, has loved you and me when we were Jephthahs, every last one of us. Looking for sinners, he found them. He found us. And he found us in desperate straits. And in Jesus Christ, in the waters of baptism, lifting us up, he brought us in, washed our wounds, and changed our direction. And you know what? All our church going, all our hymn singing, all our long praying and pious looking, and all of our religious talking will never erase the fact that we were dug from a deep, dark, desperate pit. All of us are classic misfits. But there's one major difference between Jephthah in the Old Testament and you and me. God chose to reveal his past for all of us to hear about. We know about it. But he chose to hide ours in the blood of his son. We're absolved. Talk about a deal. Talk about a hoot. Talk about grace. We are absolved. We belong to Jesus. We are forgiven. God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen.